I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the accounts payable, and that would be the cycle date 3-6 through 3-10. And that would be for the regular checks of $191,268.18, the manuals $52,935.78, and wires $204,837.45, and the payroll checks $450,407.01. Noting the county manager has reviewed and approved such.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Items of note, Tom?
Payment to Bear River Valley Co-op, and this is for Road Bridge District 2, and this is a diesel, $13,894. Payment to Callie Donaldson, doing business at First Lab, Human Services, and it's an early childhood education training scholarship, which is $912. Payment to JZWA, this is Williams Plan. This is for the fairgrounds and the labor work on the Temple Hall HVAC system, $9,212.15.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Yesterday, we had updates from our county manager, our county attorney, an update from our building and plant department, and our human services department.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the consent agenda items. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 What have you got for us today, Chris?
So we are here to request that Cody Froschi, a new heavy equipment mechanic who was approved to be hired by the deputy county manager at step 3 of the heavy equipment mechanics pay scale, that he be allowed to advance to a step 4 upon completion of 6 months of employment and receiving a successful performance review and obtaining his CDL. He currently doesn't have one, and an underground storage tank operator's A certification. Mr. Froschi comes to us with 15 years of experience, 11 years over the minimum of 3 years required in the job description. He also has several mechanic certifications that weren't required in our job description that will help him with his day-to-day jobs at Roden Bridge. And Janet Ruby feels that he's well qualified to be hired at the step 4, providing that he does all the things that he's supposed to.
And that system's been working well for us to hire at a step, confirm they have the skills since we don't do job testing, and then get a raise in 6 months. It kind of inadvertently, not only is a skill check, but it's an incentive too a lot of times. So.
Any idea why he didn't stay at jobs very long until his last one?
So I'm hoping we can give him a good stability. Yes, he had like a kind of a sad song and dance story for every single one of them where he worked hard. One day he showed up and his owner was taking payments on trucks and not paying the manufacturer. So he had they seized the property. And then, it was just a series of stories. So he's working at the landfill now, and that's a good marker of if you can work there for a while, you're committed to working on trucks and doing a good job. So.
Don't have any other questions.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the advance of the new road and bridge employee, Cody Froschi, from a step 3 to a step 4. The heavy equipment mechanic pay scale upon completion of the successful six-month performance review and the confirmation or successful completion of getting a CDL and his completion of the underground storage tank operator A certification.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Chris. So does that... Is this, what is their anniversary date then? Is their anniversary still their hire date?
Yes. So the anniversary deals with benefits. When do you move to the next level of vacation accrual?
So that's why I'm asking.
Yes.
So they're going to move to, in 6 months, they're going to move to step four. When does he move to step five?
Step five would be his date of measure. So it'll be
a year from the 6 month.
A year from the date of his hire. So... His date of hire, when an employee is hired, their date of measurement, their date of hire, and their date of anniversary are all the same. If we had a temporary employee who was hired, they'd have a date of hire, but no date of anniversary, they'd have a date of measure. If they applied for a full-time and got a full-time job, then they'd get a date of anniversary. And the date of measure only changes when you change pay scales. So if he decided to become the assistant director of Roden Bridge, he'd get a new data measure.
So he's going to have basically the time that he, 6 months he's going to be at step three, 6 months he's going to be at step four, and upon completion of that, he'll be at step five.
Correct.
Okay, just so I understood that. Okay.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you
very much.
I don't know who the other one was. He took the job.
All right, we are here for our 1:30 planning items, and we're going to start off with item A, the G5 Ranch Conservation Easement Amendment. Alan, I take it you're...
That's actually Linnea.
Okay, Linnea.
Yeah, I was handling the amendment, and he was handling the plat and subdivision. The G5 ranch was placed in a conservation easement in 2009, and the PDR funds were used as part of that. As you know from that process, when PDR funds are used, we sign an agreement with the land trust, and that agreement requires the county to approve of any amendment of that conservation easement. The amendment that is being sought here would allow the property to be subdivided. It is then contemplated that the town of Yampa would purchase a portion of that where their infiltration gallery sits. The conservation easement would remain on the subdivided property, but its terms are amended to lessen the impacts basically on the town of Yampa as it operates its infiltration gallery. If it ever is not used for that purpose, the original terms of the conservation easement come back, if you will. I've reviewed the language that they have prepared for the amendment and did not have any problems with that. Although it is my understanding they plan on closing today, I did put in the motion language that if they needed to tweak the language some, that could just come through the attorney's office instead of having to re-seek the board's approval.
So, you know, we haven't been involved, the commissioners haven't been involved in this. We've been letting the process run. So is it, and this is basically for the infiltration gallery. It isn't, no buildings on it.
Correct.
Then what are already existing?
What's that?
Then what's already existing?
The treatment facility is on a different piece of property.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
I just wanted to get that out. So, I mean, other than, you know, the use, potential use of it, there is no change in ownership, which still is encumbered by the conservation easement.
No, there will be a change in ownership because it'll be...
No, that's what I said. With the even with the change of ownership, it will still have the same restrictions it had on it, other than the change use of the public use for the infiltration gallery.
Well, and actually, it's already being used as that. It's the town of Yampa has an easement allows them
and
to use
right.
that.
And then
easement must include the ability to go up there and sink new pipes and upgrade the infiltration gallery itself if they needed to?
And I will be honest, I have not
yes?
okay. pursued that in detail, but obviously yes. they have had that right to use that for quite some time.
And the easement for the infiltration gallery was there when we put the conservation easement on the top, over the top of it. Is that probably correct?
That is definitely correct, yes.
Yeah.
So did you say that there was some language that you wanted in the motion about amending it later in time? Because I just have a straightforward motion here.
Oh.
In my packet.
I'll read what the letter said. If there are any changes to the Second Amendment, this must be approved by the county attorney.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm fine with this, okay. too.
I move.
Hold on a minute.
Mr. Chairman, should I speak from here?
Yeah, come on out.
Come on out.
You're going to need to speak here anyhow.
Bob Weiss, I'm the town attorney for the town of Yampa. I just wanted to say two things. This infiltration gallery has been in place for many years. It was there pursuant to easements. There were conflicts between the rancher and the town over grazing over the water system. So we decided to, we the town decided to
that just changes the CDPHE rules.
Yeah, it was a problem.
Under the influence of groundwater.
Right.
Yes.
So there were issues. The town would have preferred to acquire it free of a conservation easement, but as a compromise, we agreed to amend the conservation easement. Now, the only thing I want to make clear is it can be used for any water system purpose. I don't want the board to be misled on that. In other words, I don't believe there are any surface improvements, but there's nothing that would prohibit that in the future.
As long as it was associated directly
with the water system. So if for some reason, I don't anticipate that. Jeff could answer that probably better than I could. I don't know why there would be a building there, but there could be under the
language. I don't think the county would have a problem.
Okay, but I just didn't. I wouldn't want the commissioners to drive by there someday and see a building and think you were misled on that issue. Because as long as it's water system, the town can do whatever it wants. And that was a very clear and explicit part of the deal.
And then the other question, so this was...
So is the town going to fence out the cows?
Yes, okay. Yes. And that's part of it. There's an obligation of the town to do that. There's a 10-foot offset where the rancher can allow the cattle to graze up to 10 feet, so we have a convenience fence at 10 feet in offset from the property line. But that's the deal. So
you got the town is buying the property?
Yes.
Buying the property.
And then allowing the 10-foot grazing easement along the side of that as well.
Right.
Okay.
Why?
Never mind. I don't care. If you would like me to give you my time records on this negotiation going back 17 years, I'd be glad to give it to you.
No, I think we have enough information here to be that I'm willing to entertain a motion on this.
Okay. I move that we approve the Second Amendment to the G5 conservation easement and authorize the chair to sign a letter acknowledging the approval. If there are any changes to the Second Amendment, they shall first be reviewed and approved by the county attorney.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
And then there also needs to be a motion for the signature on the plat.
Yep.
Okay.
So I move that we authorize the chair to sign the final plat once all of the required signatures have been obtained.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Let's just go off for just a second. Next, to review the Frizzell preliminary subdivision, item number 10, the land dedication for a public site issue.
Thank you for reaching out and letting me join you.
You bet. So, Alan, should we start off with you? Or?
Sure. So the last time the board heard this was on February 14th, and at the end of that hearing, the applicant made a proposal to dedicate some land to satisfy the public land dedication. And it was a, or it, the applic- the proposal is a 0.29 acre site, which equals 5% of the land area required for a land dedication. That would have a 5-foot wide soft surface trail and would connect the two entrances of the subdivision. And the land would be owned by the homeowners association, and an easement over the site would be dedicated to the public. Staff cannot support this for multiple reasons. The main one being the regulations require a dedication of land for public sites such as schools, fire stations, or other necessary public facilities. And land is not being proposed to be dedicated. The land would be owned by the homeowners association, and a public easement would be dedicated over the top of that. Staff also concludes that the trail does not constitute a necessary public facility. And in the applicant's narrative from both the sketch and preliminary application, they requested a waiver of the public site dedication based on several factors, those being the small size of the subdivision, the lack of public park spaces in the neighborhood, and thus no opportunity to connect with or add to the existing public area, and the lack of any practical opportunity for a usable public facility or site on the property. And throughout the entire process, staff has agreed with those assessments, and staff's opinion does not remains unchanged. The applicant states that the dedication of an easement is allowed by section 353A1. The title of this section is actually is conveyance, and this section only lays out the method for how the open space parcels or the land dedication is to be conveyed to the entity that will take over the ownership of these parcels. And so since that's the proposal in front of us right now, staff is going to conclude their comments on this portion. If the board decides that they don't want to accept this proposal, staff would like to make some comments concerning the fee in lieu if we get to that part.
Okay.
I don't know. I think you got to just keep going.
Yeah, why don't we, I agree. Why don't we move on to the discussion of the fee in lieu?
Okay.
And then we can circle back to this land dedication if we choose to.
Okay. Yeah. So staff put together a calculation of what our opinion would be an acceptable fee in lieu. And so just to run through that formula, for parks, so we're talking about parks and school sites. And speaking with the city parks and rec director and the school district's facility director, staff determined that 0.072 acres per dwelling would be required. Since this subdivision would add 5 new lots, because there's already one existing, staff multiplied that 0.072 acres by the 5 new lots and came up with a dedication of, or a land requirement of 0.36 acres. Then staff looked at some of the prices of vacant land in the Steamboat area that has either recently been sold or been under contract, and those parcels are represented on the map that's part of your of the communication form. And so the option number one is the average of all of those that are shown on the map with the three commercial potential parcels that are in close proximity to US 40 removed, and the average land price based on that is $66,494. And then another option would be taking all of the parcels on the map, removing the high and the low values, and then averaging the price per acre, and that came to $104,212. And so then we took those average per acre land costs and multiplied them by that 0.36 acres that would be required for the subdivision, and came up with two values. The first one, and so the first one is based on removal of the three commercial potential properties in close proximity to US 40, and came to a value of, or a fee in lieu of, $23,937. And then using the second land value that removed the high and the low values, it came to $37,516. And so staff is supporting option number one based on the $23,937, because this cost most closely reflects the average land value in the area where there is a projected need generated by the subdivision. So
where's the map?
It's for the...
Is that it?
No, it's this one here.
Keep going. Okay, right there.
So this map, you said there were three properties removed. I only see two that are shown as being... Oh, these are the high and the lows removed. I'm sorry. Okay. That's
correct.
The other two that were removed were... The one next to Fairfield Inn,
yep,
the side of town, and the one across acres from the economic basin.
Okay.
And one note that staff would like to make is that this option does not reflect the overall vacant real estate values or the values of the project in question. So that's all I have for now.
You guys have any questions of staff?
Not right now.
Who speak, Mr. Frizzell, are you presenting, or Bob's good? Bob, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, we do not object to the option one recommended by the staff. If the board is thinking of a higher amount or some other methodology of doing this, then we'd like to make a presentation.
Presentation, okay.
So, Ellen, how did, between the cities of Steamboat Springs and Parks and Rec Director, did they come up with 0.072? Do you know?
Methodology?
I can talk about some of that. It's based off, I would say, industry standard, but, you know, the high before I contact John Overstreet, I looked up, you know, just at the total level, and they actually have a small community, you know, park assessments, and that's almost identical to what John Overstreet had come up with for the city of Steamboat Springs. It is just how much parkland do you need per population?
That's a combination of parks and schools.
That's right.
Yeah, but they're separated out. One's 0.31 and the other was...
Correct. But the total is 0.072.
The reason I say that is, I mean, that's half the size of a typical old town lot. So for every two houses, you'd have to have a whole nother half a lot for schools and parks. I mean, that just seems like that multiplies over time a high amount. But so that's why I was just asking about the methodology.
As far as what we got from the school district.
0.072.
Yeah, so 0.15 is like the size of a residential lot in Old Town, although some of them are 0.09s. I mean, they get really tiny. So that's why I saw that and I thought, oh, so for every two houses that you built in Old Town, you'd have another vacant lot that would be for school and park use. And it just seems like over time that generates a lot of land for parks and schools.
And I didn't question them on their methodology. They should just ask for the money.
Okay, thanks.
So just another off the top of the head number, and Peter and I, coincidentally, we're just talking about this piece of property out in Stagecoach, but 9 acres of school site, which we were hoping would we'd be able to build a school that would accommodate 200 kids at the time, you get a 0.045 factor.
Just for school?
Just for school.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think they're, you know, you can chop those numbers up a lot of different ways, but I think they're in the ballpark.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Well, I'm comfortable with the 23,937, whatever it is. Yep, 23,937 myself, so I have a few comments to make later. But
I'm good with that.
I mean, I'm, frankly, it feels a little bit low to me, but it ends up ultimately being kind of a subjective way to look at things. I mean, staff presented two methodologies. I mean, you could argue in favor of one or the other, but I guess I'm comfortable with the dollar amount, given the fact that staff and the applicant have negotiated this and are in agreement. I don't feel strongly enough about it to try to overrule it.
So, a couple things.
Did you want to get a motion?
No, not. We don't. I think we can make some. I'd like to make some comments first. So, the reason why I'm not in favor of the, you know, when we had our last meeting, we talked about the public land dedication. And again, I think there's some holes there showing in the fact that it's not a dedication. And basically, showing on the map, it's a road to nowhere on both ends. So it really doesn't serve anybody any purpose other than having a weed bed there that's probably going to be coming back later. So that's number one. The waiver, I think, is totally out of bounds, and I don't think was supported anywhere at all, period. And in fact, I think I'm ready to support a moratorium moving forward on any of these four things until we get figured out better regulations so we have a better idea of what's going on here. You know, again, we haven't used this thing so much, but this is totally different than what we had originally planned for any of this stuff to be happening, and I'm not a happy camper here. And Jeff, a couple of your comments that, you know, the parks lands are always supposed to be as close as you can get to the people. We're not going to put parkland out there in West Steamboat. You're right, probably in the schools and rest of stuff, but I don't know. We're sitting here in a zero-sum game, working from zero to somewhere, and I'm fine with the 23,000. But like I said, this is not worthy of us even. If Mr. Frizzell is on the phone, think that you've been outgunned here or something, that you've given up something that you shouldn't have had to give up, I think you've gotten a hell of a good deal here myself, and I'm really upset about it. And probably won't be having any more of these things coming through on my watch, even at six lots or the rest. For you to think that there's no impact to the community for this thing, whether it's the fire district, the parks and rec, and the rest, and I can get off my high horse here, but I guess the other thing that concerned me here, you know, I spend as much money on Mr. Pat and Mr. Weiss and Mr. Lake here than you would have spent with us, you know, just coming up. We'll take a lot of the blame here, too. I think our process was just totally flawed, and we didn't have a clue to what we were doing, why we were doing it, and how we were doing it. So before we move forward, we need to get all of those things cleared up so that if we have an application. I'm not against growth, but growth needs to pay for its own way, and that includes the community services and the county services that we're providing as well. So that'd be my comment.
I don't have anything to say.
I just wanted to set the record straight on that there was no proposal to dedicate that land. That is where we started. We proposed dedicate that land to the county.
Yeah, but you didn't do that till we sat in that meeting. You didn't tell staff. That wasn't in the staff packet. You let us come up with this.
We told staff that in a meeting, and they told us you weren't going to accept it. So we said we would provide, we would give it to the Homeowners Association and give a public easement, period. I just want to say
that. And he's probably right, and we probably wouldn't have accepted it anyhow, because it's a road to nowhere on both ends.
That's what we were told, and I just wanted to make it clear that that's where we started.
We're happy with the outcome.
I'm ready for a motion.
I got it here. So
I just want to be clear and clarify one thing. And it's by the agreements, that means that you do not want to exercise that step under section 353C, that is to perform the study
No, we agree to we are not objecting to option one.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the proposal of the fee in lieu of the public sites land dedication, therefore granting final approval of the Fox Grove subdivision. This approval is subject to the following and it's also made with the finding the fact that the fee in lieu of public sites dedication is in compliance with sections 3.5.3 of the Rock County subdivision regulations and the conditions of approval being all of the conditions of approval for the Fox Grove preliminary subdivision plan approved by the board on January 17th, 2017 shall apply. And the fee in lieu total is $23,937 or $4,787.40 per lot. The fee is based on the addition of the five lots and not including the original lot that had a residence on it. There's no fee associated with the one of the six lots that had that house on it. The fee in lieu amount of $23,937 shall be paid to the county prior to the recording of the final plat. If the final plat is to be recorded in two filings, the amount of the fee in lieu shall be for the amount of the lots to be recorded for that filing.
Second.
Chad?
I just want to say that there was no existing house. It was just a buildable lot.
Oh, is that right? Okay. So there's no house on it?
Right.
It's okay.
Basically a credit for Army having a buildable lot.
So before we vote on this, I've got just a couple of quick comments. I'd like to commend staff. I think you guys put in a lot of work on this. I think it was a really difficult project. I think it's fair to say that, speaking for myself at least, this was a lot of new information for me. I thought mistakenly that we had a pretty simple process in place, and this was a pretty straightforward way to address things. That that the 5% as a payment in lieu of was a reasonable amount, but. After having spent quite a bit of time working on this and receiving advice from legal staff, it's apparent that our regulation is not as clear as it should be. And I guess I would offer a backhanded compliment to the applicant for bringing to our attention maybe some stuff about our regulation that's less than perfect. And I certainly will be supporting a moratorium and revisiting this regulation for future developments. So, that's my comments.
So I have one more comment too, and I guess for you guys too, this isn't money going into the county coffers either. So, and we're gonna be going through a process here shortly here to accumulate all these monies that we're getting. That's going to be next on our agendas to figure out. And again, we went in here blindly with this thing, so we're going to be going through a process. Figure out how we can get these monies then out of the county coffers since, and then back into the school districts and or the parks and figure out how we can get them and get them put to use too so that they're not, didn't want to think that the county got a windfall on this, so.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Mr. Frizzell, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, commissioners. I would just like to say that from the time that we began the project that had so many neighbors come to support it, we've only been trying to do the right thing. And it has been a difficult process, but I'm happy that we've come up with a good endpoint. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're good. We did with that, too, Mr. Frizzell. And again, I guess as we had in our last hearing, you could have had the option to go to the city if you wanted to go visit with the city.
Thank you, sir.
Really.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Peter will be on the next.
Okay, thanks.
What we're doing for that. We're off. So we're here for our 145 purchasing item. Everyone, let us know what we're thinking about buying.
Yep, the first one that we have on the list is the consideration for approval of purchase and authorization of the chairperson to sign the purchase order for a new excavator Traco for the Road and Bridge Department. The award goes to Riverbend Machinery in the amount of $191,897. You want to look at that? You can. So Marty went out for proposal for the Traco, and they spent a lot of time going through all the responses. It got sent to 11 suppliers, and they got 6 responders. They had a pretty specific things that they were asking for in terms of warranty and loan program in case it had to be repaired. And the Road and Bridge Department went on site to test out both the Volvo model and the link belt, and the link belt was the one that they decided to go with, so that's who we're recommending. They just said that it felt more stable, less like it was going to tip over when they were driving it. So,
did they test out the one from Century Equipment at $194,000?
The Kobelco?
Yeah.
They did not test that one out, no.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Based on the feedback I have received in my research, resale value, parts, and service is not as available.
Okay.
From Kobelco.
Okay. Just since it was so close in price to the other two, that's why I asked. Okay.
So where's Riverbend out of?
In Grand Junction.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, the question we've had for a long time is whether we buy CAT, because it's, the service is closer, but the price is so different that it's hard to justify.
And it's not like you use it every day like the road graders and whatever, too.
Plus, everybody's trying to offer better service, and we're willing to give them a shot and try to provide us the best service they can.
So what is the spec on this thing? Do they spec them out at boom length or the horsepower or track size?
Horsepower and lifting capacity. The torque specs as well. The size itself to dig what we need to dig. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
that's fine. You don't need.
But
all of these are the same. All
the same
these,
size.
The same dogs. And
same size.
We're looking at,
yeah.
How many
yeah,
of these
it's
do
mid
we
size. One.
This is it. This is going to be it.
One. This is the one that we had the John Deere.
We had a John Deere that was 25 years old.
Wow.
We actually got $25,000 for it when we sold it.
Really?
Which was pretty good. It needed about $25,000 to fix.
So did we
sell it to Steve Bob?
No.
So how did we sell it then?
In the auction.
Oh, last year?
Last year.
Fall? Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've been without a track on this stuff?
We've been renting.
Yeah, I remember Janet what came in. She actually brought two of them.
We got two of them, two link belts, and that's we were looking into them. But we have an operator that used to have his own excavating business. And he gave us a lot of recommendations on what we should try out. And the guys love the link belt. When they tried the Volvo, they said it felt tippy when they were excavating, you know.
That's not a good feeling in a track on.
Absolutely.
All right. Ready for motion?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, I move that we approve the purchase and authorize the chairperson to sign a purchase order for one new 2017 link belt excavator, 245x4 Traco for the Road and Bridge Department to Riverbend in the amount not to exceed $191,897. And that's coming from the Road and Bridge Capital Fund.
Second. So a question then. So I assume we're picking it up? Are we going down to pick it up? Do they deliver
it? No, they're delivering it.
Oh, well, good. FOB here.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 And it's going to Hayden first.
Well, we're almost bare. We're out of snow down there already.
So that's why when I arrange,
digging Hayden. Sewer lines.
Thank you. Next,
great. The next one on the agenda is for the forks. So this is for the consideration for approval of purchase and authorization of the chairperson to sign a purchase order for one set of heavy-duty construction forks for road construction, Road and Bridge Shop District 2, the Hayden Shop, to Power Equipment Company in the amount of $14,495. This was also sent out to 11 suppliers. This was a request for quotes, so we just got quotes back from as many as we could. We got three quotes back, and they are the low-cost respondents. So that's who we are recommending for the forks.
And where are they located?
let's see.
Grand Junction Power
they are
equipment.
In...
Yeah.
Okay. We have a Denver address on purchase order.
Well, the forks will come from Grand Junction.
Okay.
That's where they have their stock.
And so my question is, gas, propane, or diesel?
It's just forks.
They're just forks. My question was, wow, that's a lot of money for...
It's just forks.
Two L-shaped pieces of metal, huh?
Yeah, they're the heavy-duty for the bucket loader, actually. So this is for the big bucket loader attachment.
To pick up forks. The culverts.
Pick up culverts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of pricey.
They are expensive.
By the ounce.
They are very expensive. But, you know, we have Balderson quick couplers in the loaders, and it has to be specific to that to that quick coupler. So they are expensive, but that was the cheapest we could find it.
It's not really, when you say quick coupler, it's just a mechanical attachment.
A mechanical attachment.
Not a hydraulic coupling attachment.
No, not a hydraulic.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the purchase and authorization of the chairman to sign a purchase order for one new set of heavy-duty construction forks for Road and Bridge District Shop Number 2, located in Hayden.
Second.
For $14,495.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 So were the old ones broke, or were we just replacing them? Or?
The old ones were, like, homemade, and we never really had... good ones. It was just like put together.
So it's
and
a safety risk as
it's
well.
It's a safety risk. And this one is actually for all three shops. It's the only one we have. So it'll be utilized by whoever.
And each shop has a front end loader with that kind
each
of
shop has a 958 with a capacity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just having a whole bunch of fun buying this today.
Yeah. The last one we have for you guys today is the air compressor. Consideration for approval of purchase and authorization of the chairperson to sign a purchase order for one industrial air compressor for the District 3 Steamboat Shop to Napa Auto Parts in the amount of $6,397.93. This was another request for quote. It was sent out to three suppliers, and they all responded. They were all pretty close, and Napa is the low-cost respondent, so that's who we're recommending. At their Steamboat location, I don't know if the...
By $2.
Yeah.
No, actually, it could be as little as $1.07 if
you
looked all the way down.
Wow.
Very, very close, but... And this one is more than the need for a compressor, is safety, because that old compressor they have there is just a ticking bomb. It's just old. It's an old compressor.
I guess I'm ignorant about electrical stuff. I see the one we're buying is 230 volt. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And the second one is 460 volts. That's... I'm just not familiar with 460 volt equipment.
I know there were three phase.
Well, these are the specs that we have on the communication.
Yeah.
Here's the.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I don't know what that one is.
460 volt.
You get 60 volt 110s going there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
420s.
Yeah, I'm not sure how.
Well, we're not buying it, so it's not a problem.
Yeah. Is it 230 volt? Sure.
All right. I move that we approve the purchase and authorize the chairperson's signature on a purchase order for one industrial area for the Road and Bridge Department District 3 shop in Steamboat Springs to Napa Auto Parts in the amount of $6,397.93.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Nice work kind of bringing us down to the ladder on the money. Start out high, it gets easier and